That's our word for it. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the beauty of it. I thank you for each guest that's here this morning. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, that we come here in peace and safety to teach your word, to study it, to learn it like you meant for us to. I want you, Lord, to remember those soldiers out there that are keeping us safe and their families left behind. Such great sacrifices that are being made by so many Americans today. Let us never forget them. Continue to lead, guide, and direct us. Teach us in the power of the Holy Spirit that we may learn these deep things and apply them in our lives. Your holy and precious name, Lord, we ask these things. Amen. Okay, take your Bibles. I think I need a bigger podium and get more paperwork. I have a card here I need to read to you also before we get in our study. To Sunday school members, thank you for the many cards, calls, visits, gift cards to the Cracker Barrel, always one of our favorites, and your prayers during my accident and recovery. I felt your prayers every day. I hope to join y'all soon. Love, Shirley Howard. And Cheryl did. Shirley did join us. There she is right there. Well, a lady that's been through what she's been through, doesn't she look marvelous? I'm just glad to have her back here with us. Let us know if there's anything we can do to help. Okay, turn your Bibles to the book of Revelation. Somebody asked me the other day how long we're going to be in here. I don't know. Till we get through. However long that is. How many questions y'all got? How much information I find to deliver to you? Did we get to chapter 8? Anybody mark your place last week? We're ready for chapter 8? Okay, we're ready for chapter 8. Let me say this before we get into chapter 8 and what it contains. Chapter 8 is opened up with the seventh seal. Now, for you that have not been here or haven't been keeping up with where we have been teaching, Christ Himself is opening up this scroll. This scroll has seven seals. The number seven always means complete in Scripture. We'll go through many sevens throughout Revelation, especially. It always means complete, is what the number means in Scripture. He is opening this seal, which is really the title deed to this earth. Now, Adam had the title deed at one time, but he lost it through sin. And now the second Adam, as Scripture calls Christ, is coming back to take this title deed and to take back his creation. It belongs to him. And he is opening up this seal, these seven seals, which means complete, in heaven at this time. So the scene of where we are, we're in heaven. And he is getting ready to open these seven seals. Now, each of these seals represents some kind of a judgment or an event that's getting ready to happen, controlled by the hand of God. We've been through six of them, and we're down to the seventh seal. Now, look at verse 1, chapter 8. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Now, every other time that we have read about what heaven is really like, and a lot of you ask, and what is heaven really like? I can say this from Scripture. Of course, you can conjure up in your mind how you think it may be other than that. But Scripture really teaches that heaven is a place where there's constant adoration going on at the throne of God. The angels, the cherubim, the seraphim, the elders, the living creatures, all of these things and probably many other things that we don't even know about that are in there are honoring God constantly. There's probably singing and music and just that's going on constantly in heaven. No doubt the most beautiful thing that anybody could even begin to imagine and beyond our imagination as human beings. That's why my picture is of heaven that I get from Scripture. It's just a place of constant joy, love, invigorating music. Regardless of how much music you've heard here, I don't think you'll even begin to touch what we will hear in heaven. And the same most beautiful voices that you've ever heard here won't even begin to match the thousands of angels that will be singing in heaven at the same time. This is my picture of heaven. But it says here that when Christ opens this seventh seal, that everything ceases. Everything gets quiet. It says for a space of about a half an hour. Now that means earth time. So for about a half an hour, everything is totally quiet in heaven. The reason that it does is because what's getting ready to happen on the earth is so terrible and so violent and so horrendous that even the heavenly beings that are there recognize the seriousness of what's getting ready to occur. And as all of you know, some of you have been in the military, some of you have been in combat, you know, right before you get into a situation like that, things get eerily quiet, eerily still. It's right before a great event occurs. Well, this is what's happening in heaven. Before these next events occur, heaven gets quiet for a half an hour because it's going to be so bad that even the heavenly beings are astonished at what's even going to happen. Verse 2, "And I saw the seven angels that which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets." Now this seventh seal is not a judgment in itself, but it opens up another group of judgments, which are the seven trumpet judgments. And I'm getting ready to open it. Each one of these judgments will open up into another one and another one. And each one of them gets more terrible as time goes on through the tribulation period. Now remember, we're in the tribulation period here, probably approaching about the middle of it. He said the seven angels here would stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Now in the Old Testament, trumpets were used to rally the troops, to rally the Israelites, to worship service, many different things. We all have trumpets. Brother Kim's talking about a trumpet here. He says probably should be one of our most favorite instruments. It is. God uses it to call His people's attention. And He's getting ready to call attention to the earth. "And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne." Now before the throne of God is this golden altar. When you say prayers, this is where they go. And here this angel comes up with a censer. I don't know how many of you have ever handled a censer of incense. I have many, many times. The ones we had were made out of brass. This one's made out of gold because it was before the throne of God. But it had in the bottom compartment where you could put the hot coals. It was swung by a chain. I used to have that big old heavy chain swing that. And you pulled the top up by a chain and you took this incense and you poured it on top of the coals, and then you put the lid back down. And the smoke that it gave off was so sweet it was almost nauseating. Of course, if you held it right next to you, like I had to, and swing it, you got a full whiff of it. Well, to God, it's offered up as a sweet-smelling prayer. So your prayers go to heaven. They're offered on this altar with incense as sweet-smelling prayers to God. That's the way He receives your prayers. So when you pray, that's where it goes. Any questions? So that's what this angel does. He offers up, he gets this incense, and he offers up the prayers here of the saints upon the golden altar before them. God considers your prayers upon this golden altar. That's where they go. "And the smoke of the incense which came up with the prayers of the saints, that which came is added by the translators." It's really not in the Greek text. It should read like this. "The smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hands." So your prayers are being presented to God with this incense. "And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it," your translation may say, "into the earth." It should be upon the earth. The Greek should be, he takes this censer, fills it with fire, and then takes this censer and he throws it down upon the earth. Is where it goes. "And there were voices, thunderings, and lightnings, and an earthquake." This announces, when he takes this censer and throws it down upon the earth with the fire in it, this announces to the world that God is getting ready to cast His judgments upon mankind for their rejection of God and His Savior. Now mankind today basically has rejected Christ. They mock Him, they make fun of Him. Rush even had a cartoon of Jesus being in a wheelbarrow and wheeling them out to the city dump and dumping Him in the city dump. And those things go on and on and on. The world gets mad about Mohammed being portrayed as some character, but they can do that to Christ. He's being depicted as even worse than that today in cartoons that I wouldn't even describe to you, period. I wouldn't even describe them. They're so horrible. So this is what's going to happen. The earth is getting ready to get its judgment. Okay? And God announces this with voices, thunder, lightnings, and an earthquake. How many of you slept through that storm last night? Slept through that storm last night? I don't know how you could. I thought I was dead, but man, you only had your rhythm tested. That was a little about midnight. You didn't understand right? Well, I feel great at 65 if I can hear that and y'all can't. Tell you one thing, that got my attention. It was a good one. But God announces this through lightnings, thunderings, and earthquake. And seven angels, which had seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound. Again, notice it's a number seven. He's getting ready to cast judgment upon the earth. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Now let me say this as we get into these judges. First of all, I want you to notice the first four of these are directed toward the earth itself. Okay? It has a direct effect upon the creation itself. This is coming from God. This is not a result of the other, the four horsemen apocalypse, which that's caused by the Antichrist and etc. This is directly from the throne of God. These first four trumpet judgments actually cause destruction of some of creation itself. Not mankind, first of all. Just the environment. Okay? Now, it says here there's hail and fire mingled with blood. You remember the judgments of Moses upon God and through Moses upon Egypt? These were literal judgments. These are literal judgments. A lot of people ask, well, this is just symbolic. No, it's not symbolic. It means just what it says. Remember when we started studying Revelation, I said, if common sense makes sense, then don't seek any other sense. Okay? That's exactly what it means. If the context shows you that it's literal, then it is literal. Where it's not literal, we'll get into that also. But this first trumpet judgment here is hail, fire mingled with blood, cast upon the earth. Notice, one third of the trees burned up, all the green grass is burned. These are coming in thirds. God's taking away part of that environment from mankind. Second trumpet. And a second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And a third part of the sea became blood. We've heard that before in Scripture elsewhere. A third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. The third part of the ships were destroyed. Here's the second trumpet judgment. Again, it involves thirds here. Says a great mountain. Probably most Bible scholars believe that this is a volcano. And this area here where this probably is, it says of the sea. Anytime you see that in Scripture, that usually does not mean all of the oceans of the world. It usually means the Mediterranean Sea itself. The Mediterranean Sea is surrounded basically by volcanoes. The islands there are created by volcanoes. So most scholars believe that this is a great volcanic eruption, which it had many over there in times past. They had some during World War II when our guys were over there in Italy, Vesuvius. And y'all were familiar with Pompeii and Herculaneum and all of that. Evidently, there's some great volcano over there that cast into the sea, and notice a third of it became blood. You throw that much material and gas and stuff. The creatures that were in there, a third part died. Third part of the ships were destroyed. It's a great area of commerce, the Mediterranean is. So a third of everything in that area is destroyed because probably of this great volcano. Now some commentaries that you read will say this is a meteor. I disagree. I think this is a volcano from its description. Any questions so far? Teddy.
I will back up just a little bit to the first poll.
Okay.
And I had a question about that.
Okay.
The prayers of the saints. Now, the saints have already been raptured out. The church has been raptured out.
Mm-hmm.
The saints. Are they praying in heaven? Is that where this, the prayers are offered up, or is this the people that are left on earth that are offered
prayers? Well, it could be some of both. We're not told. The word saint just means one that is sanctified for God. It could be some on the earth that are down here that are going to go in persecutions. That could be their prayers. It could also be those ones up under the altar that are praying as well.
So all the saints, what I was getting at, there's no saints left here on earth.
Really. Well, there's no, let's put it this way, the church is gone. But there are people being saved on the earth at that time through the witness of the 144,000. There are people being saved. Once you're saved, you become a saint. A lot of people are scared of that word, saint, because of the way the Catholic Church uses it. In the Catholic Church, you only become a saint if they canonize you. They research you about 300 or 400 years and find out what good deeds you did, and find out if you did any miracles, and on and on and on. And then after about 300 or 400 years, they have convened a council, and they say, well, now we make you saint so-and-so. Well, that's not God's way. God's way is when you accept Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, is earnest of your inheritance, then you become saint, so-and-so at that point. Okay? You're on God's register. That's more important than the one in the Vatican. Or put you up in some kind of castle where they can watch you deteriorate the next 300 years. Try to get your bones, call you a saint that has miraculous powers. I never will forget the in school one day, one of the nuns lost a bone of a saint. A little old beady thing she had around her neck and chamber. Well, they let out 300 kids. And we got on our hands and knees, literally, and we searched every square inch of that school for that piece of bone. Okay? Now, Katie, did that answer your question? I know I'm going to
get it. Well, their director, I thought that we hear his preaching now. Somebody
that's
saved right now.
That's right.
Becomes a saint. I understand.
That's right.
But the church is raptured out.
The church is gone.
That's the reason I'm asking. That's the reason I guess I had the question. Is there going to be saints after the rapture?
Yes. There will be people being saved. And they will be saints.
They reclassified Satan. What I always understood is the Christians that are here on earth, the bride of Christ,
mm-hmm,
are going to be in the dish. They're going to be over whoever else is there.
Right, we will rule and reign with Christ.
They are the saints.
Yeah.
But the ones that didn't accept Christ, it's like somebody that lives here and didn't accept Jesus Christ, and the rapture came, and they realize after Christ has come that He's come,
mm-hmm,
and then they get saved. Well, they miss their chance to be a saint, is the way I always look at it. They can be a Christian. They can accept Christ, but they'll also be good chance of being destroyed.
The word saint, the definition really, what you're talking about hinges around the definition of saint. The word saint itself just means someone that is saved and sanctified for Christ. You can have a saint in the Old Testament, which will not be part of the bride. You can have a saint during the age of law, or even before the age of law. You can have a saint in the age of grace, which now God is taking out for Him a church, an ecclesia as it is in the Greek, which we'll be part of. There are saints in that age. And there's going to be saints or those set aside and saved during the tribulation period. Okay? The word saint itself just means a person who is saved. That's all that word means. It doesn't mean the church. Okay? There are saints of all dispensations and ages. But the only church that Christ is taking out is during this age of grace that we're in today. And that ends at the rapture. That's what you're talking about, right, Peter? Okay. But there'll be saints of all ages and all dispensations. Any other questions? Okay. All right. Anybody else? Before we go on. All right. If you notice these coming thirds here, it's interesting. God really doesn't tell us why thirds, but it's interesting that there's three parts to the Trinity. So that may have some correlation. Verse 10. And the angels, and the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star. Now, if you notice the difference between the second trumpet here about the great mountain, that's the reason I think that's a volcano. Now, in the verse 10, the third trumpet, the third angel sounded, there fell a great star. Let me say this about that word star. That word star that's translated here in the Greek doesn't mean our sun or a star that's out there burning, out in the sky that you walk out and see at night. I like to walk around at night before I go to bed. It's the last thing I usually do. I go outside and walk around outside, and I like to look at the moon. I like to look at the stars and just admire the creation of God. This word translated star in the Greek means a bright heavenly body. Okay? So, a third angel sounded, and there fell a great or a luminous body, here is fallen, from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. Looks like a meteor or a meteorite. Meteor is one that burns up in the air. Meteorite is one that comes on down and hits the earth. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers, upon the fountains of waters. The name of this star or this bright object here is called wormwood. We've heard this term over and over. You've heard it probably all your life if you've been to Sunday school. Wormwood. And the third part of the water became wormwood. Many men died of the water because they were made bitter. Now, let me say this about this word wormwood. It just literally means bitter. And whatever this meteorite, it's a meteorite because it strikes the earth. It gets into the aquifers, some part of the earth here, and poisons them. This word wormwood just means bitter. It makes the water poisonous. It says a third part of the water became, many men died of the water because it made bitter. Wormwood is also an herb. It's a perennial herb that's grown over in the Middle Eastern areas. And they make an alcoholic beverage out of it. It's usually sold around plants in those areas there. And it is so toxic. It's actually quite deadly. But it is so intoxicating that very much of it will kill you. But a lot of people over there still like to drink it in spite of it. But this meteorite here is talking about comes in, gets into the base water supply of the aquifers of the world in a certain area and poisons many, many people. Probably most of you in here have seen a meteorite at one time. I was privileged to see a very, very large one. I'd like to describe it to you because I've never forgotten. I had just picked up Bonnie's hand, and we were going home, and in the front windshield of my truck came this huge fireball right at us. Now, I don't know how far away it was, but it was quite large, and it frightened her so bad that she screamed and fell down in the seat of the truck and covered her face because it looked like it was going to come right in the windshield of the truck. And when it got, I don't know how close it was, but it was a bright orange fireball. And all of a sudden, it just broke up and disintegrated into pieces. And when it did, long flames were coming off of the pieces. I never forgot that sight. I consider it quite a privilege to have seen what I saw that day. But every time I read this passage of Scripture, I think about that meteor that I saw and all evidently burned up. But it was enormous and bright in the windshield. Like I say, Bonnie's aunt was so frightened that she fell down in the seat of the truck screaming and put her hands over her head. I don't know what she thought that was going to do any good. I mean, if that thing was that big, like the size of a freight train or something, my little truck wouldn't have withstood too much of that thing, I don't believe. But to see that sight, I still remember that very, very vividly. Nor would you probably say it so. Any questions? So the waters are now poisoning some areas. Probably not all the world, but some areas. You know, you see these shows like On Discovery and the History Channel, and I've noticed a trend here lately. I watch those shows. They have some pretty good information. I don't like all of it, but I see a trend in that they are continually showing things now where it looks like they're trying to absolutely scare the general public of the world to death about the volcanoes and the meteorites and on things that could happen, it may have happened, it did happen, and all that. Like they're trying to scare the whole general public into just a mortal fear of even living. Now, if you want to look at that stuff and enjoy it and use the information, that's fine, but don't let it scare you from living. I had somebody call me the other day and worry about something they saw on the Discovery Channel, so what's going to happen if this happened? I said, don't worry about it. If it happens, what can you do about it anyhow? You know, can you stop it? Can you change any of it? Not one thing can you change something. It's like all that great earthquake in Pakistan. How many of y'all did it affect? Not one of you. You kept eating. You kept having the same routine every day. There's thousands over there dying because of it. I hate that, but it's still happening. If it happens here, we'll pay more attention. But other than that, don't worry about it. I told that lady, I said, just go and enjoy life and have a good time every day, day to day. Thank the day that you've got. Okay? Any questions or comments before we go on? Okay. Look at verse 12. I have to stop with this one. The fourth trumpet. And the fourth angel sounded. Some translators say that word angel should actually be eagle. If it is, God has made animals talk before in the Bible. No big deal. If he wants to make an eagle talk, that's all right too. And a third part of the sun was smitten, third part of the moon, third part of the stars. So as a third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. So again, these four trumpet judgments are affecting the creation. It's affecting man indirectly, but directly it's against the creation. And it does affect mankind indirectly. We're getting ready to get into some that affect mankind directly. That's different. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, like I say, some people translate this as eagle, and that doesn't make a bit of difference. If God wants an eagle to come through the sky and tell you something, better pay attention. Right? Just like the dumb donkey did one time, and Balaam didn't want to pay attention. God got his attention. Flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe. That word they say actually in the Greek could also be translated grief, grief, grief. Okay? To the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. And what this verse is really here saying is the fourth trumpet right now is introducing this angel here flying through heaven, and this angel is announcing, basically in our English language today, modern language would be, but if you think that was bad, you haven't seen anything yet. What's getting ready to come, the next three, are really going to be bad. And these next three directly affect people. Not just the creation, but directly affects the individuals upon the earth. I'm going to stop right there and we'll get into those three woes next Sunday, Lord willing. Anybody have any questions or comments? Before we close here. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this study. Thank you for the wonderful words that let us know what's going to go on in this earth as it continues to reject you, reject your word, reject your Savior. Lord, we thank you that we are privileged here to know and understand your word, that we can be ready and prepared for when you take us out of here as your body of believers, that we can serve you the rest of all eternity. I again thank you for each and every person here. Thank you for our guests, Lord. We pray that they receive a special blessing. Enjoy the time with us. Help us to share the fellowship with them. Lord, this afternoon, our picnic, let us glorify you in everything that we do. In your holy and precious name, we ask these things. Amen. Well, have a good week and call me if you need me.